It's 6:40. Dr. Most, would you like your own jingle? We've got a lot of jingles around here.
Yeah, Bob, I would.
We can get one for you. Dr. Kevin Most is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Central DuPage Hospital. He joins us every Monday morning at this time. And you know what? A lot of people right now probably brushing their teeth or gargling with mouthwash. And that reminds me, Doc, I wanted to ask you about this study that came out last week. It was a story about some studies that have been done raising the question, does mouthwash have the potential to offer some protection from COVID-19? What do we know about this?
Well, it's not so much protection. It could protect others if you were the one to have COVID. If anybody's been to the dentist recently, they're making sure that you do a 30-second gargle swish with a specific mouthwash. Because we know a couple things about mouthwash. One, believe it or not, people don't know it maybe, but they're very high in alcohol content. Listerine is at 26%, Scope at 18%. And then you couple that with hydrogen peroxide or peroxidase, and what happens is you've got a great solution that kills bacteria and viruses. So it really will take whatever viral load you have in your mouth and a little bit in the back of your throat and eliminate it to zero in about, 30 seconds. So this is good for the dentists of the world that are going out there and still working and trying to do this while protecting themselves and their staff. But it's not going to be a treatment for COVID, but it certainly would limit or minimize the exposure you would have from some giving this to someone else if you were known to be COVID positive.
Yeah, I know Listerine states on its website that their mouthwashes do not kill coronavirus, but you're saying it could reduce the viral load. It's not offering you real protection, though, is it?
Correct. You know, the study, what it did is it took, all these eight different mouthwashes, and they said, you know what, we're going to put them in, we're going to put some live virus in there, we're going to shake it up as if we were gargling, then we're going to see which ones survive. So whether it was the alcohol in it, the peroxide in it, any other material in it, it appears that it really did well. And if you look at the transmission now in the dental offices, it is so low, and yet you think about it, here they are working very closely in your mouth and where all this virus is, and yet between PPE, being dressed appropriately in the dental office, as well as these mouthwashes, we've seen very, very, very low transmission from patient to dentist.
Right. Well, they're doing more clinical tests on mouthwashes, so I guess we'll be hearing more about that. There were other studies in the news this past week showing the flu and COVID-19 increase heart attack risks. This is kind of troubling, isn't it?
Well, we've known all along that influenza, during influenza season, we certainly see more heart attacks, and that's for a couple reasons. One, when you get influenza, your heart rate goes up, your body is stressed, the inflammation goes up. So we certainly knew that. COVID, it throws the additional curveball in, and we've talked about it in the past, that COVID unfortunately makes our blood clot a little bit easier, which can cause heart attacks and strokes. That's why individuals who are hospitalized, we put them on blood thinners to prevent that from happening. It's something we notice very early in the illness. So as we go into flu season and continue to have COVID season and COVID cases increasing, we certainly want everyone to know, hey, let's do everything we can to minimize that risk. So get a flu shot there and then really try to minimize your risk by wearing a mask and distancing. You're going to cut down not only your chance of the infections, but also minimize your chance for heart disease.
In the news, we're very concerned because the numbers are spiking here in Illinois and pretty much everywhere in the country. And then at the same time, you hear about Iceland, and they virtually have no COVID-19 there anymore. And I don't know if that's because that was an isolated place to begin with, and they were early with the lockdown. What do you make of where we're having trouble and where places in the world, very few, where we're not?
Yeah, so Iceland has been kind of the poster child when you look at it. And if you look at Iceland previously, if you looked at international travel, a lot of international travel stopped in Iceland on their way to Europe. So you would have thought, boy, once we stop all this travel, Iceland is really isolated, and they certainly are. Then they go into lockdown, and they do the distancing, and they're very they're a very healthy population, to be honest with you. So they have really done well. Here in the States, we're a little bit more concerned, obviously, especially here in Chicago, where, you know, we're surrounded by states where the rates are going up. Parts of Wisconsin are over 20%. We're at about 5% here. But what's going to happen over these next couple of weeks is very, very concerning. And although we've talked, if you remember, the strain we're seeing now is not as deadly, but still spreads much easier. So that's another concern as we start to enter into the influenza season and start spending more time indoors.
Continuing our Monday morning house call from Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. It was good to hear about that recent research, Doc, regarding air travel. A lot of people thinking about, debating whether to go fly somewhere between now and the end of the year. And apparently it's safer than we thought, isn't it?
Oh, Bob, much safer. I travel this Wednesday, and I am very low concern as I'm going to get on an airplane. You know, the beauty of air flights right now is if you look at the air circulation turnovers in airplanes, it's turned over every couple of minutes. That's better than it is in most hospital rooms, to be honest with you. They have HEPA filters on the planes as well, so these are medical-grade filters that are going to filter out that virus as well. The staff is being masked and is very appropriate. They're minimizing interaction, and they're cleaning the planes between flights. So when you look at the environment that you're going into, you already know it's been cleaned. You know that the air circulation, one of our biggest issues here, is very good on airplanes. The air is being filtered as well in your environment that you're sitting in. So really the biggest thing is who's around you. If you're traveling with people you know, that's great. If you fly, like I fly Southwest, the middle seat is still open, so there is some distancing, not full 6 feet distancing, but some distancing. So I'm very encouraged. You know, I guess the flights that are jam-packed and are going to go internationally, those would be the ones that would be a little bit more concerned. But a couple-hour flight on a plane that's very clean with minimal interaction with the staff is very good, especially when you know all the safeguards that the planes have been built with and everything that the staff is doing.
The only time I would be nervous, I guess, would be if you're going to eat something and then you have the mask off for a period of time. You think about that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you look right now at flights, they're minimizing their food distribution. They're certainly even minimizing their drink distribution. And I just kind of look at it and say, you know what, if I'm going to fly someplace for 3 hours, I often go 3 or 4 hours without eating or drinking. I certainly can do it on a plane.
Yeah.
So I think that that's probably one thing in the back of people's minds is, you know, they always wanted to give me that free drink. Well, you know what, you really don't need it. You just got on a plane and you're going to get off in a couple hours. You really need that Diet Coke. So I think you're starting to see more people be more precautious while they're flying as well.
True. Let's get to a few questions that listeners have texted us or emailed us. When is it safe to go into a home to do their house cleaning after they've had COVID?
Well, really almost any time at all. You know, if you look at how long is this going to last in the air, well, we know droplets are going to drop to the floor pretty quickly. Aerosolized droplets or aerosolized particles may stay in the air a little bit, but not very long. So if you're talking about going in to clean a room or to clean a home, no problem whatsoever. Wear a mask, and you believe me, most cleaning people are going to have gloves on and be using high, you know, disinfectants. So I would have no problem whatsoever telling someone you can go into the home of someone who is actively with COVID if you're dressed appropriately and you're going to and distance appropriately. But someone after they've had it, certainly, you know, hours would be even a stretch that you wouldn't even need to go that far.
Here's a good question. My college-age son was just informed by a classmate that he was exposed to COVID last Wednesday. My son and the positive person were wearing masks and mostly distanced. He is quarantining at his apartment and is not showing any symptoms. He's going to get a test today. If it comes back negative, can he resume in-person classes, or does he still need to quarantine the full 14 days?
I would imagine that they're going to ask him to quarantine the full 14 days. We look at close contact. You know, we talk about 6 feet in 15 minutes, but we also look at how it impacts people in the home. So especially in a college dorm, I'm not sure they'd be wearing masks while in the dorm, if this is a roommate, if it's someone that they were in close contact with. The schools are really trying to clamp it down so that they don't have these big outbreaks that you've seen across the country. So you know, the better part of, you know, the smartest thing would be to go for the full 14-day quarantine. You know, you're approaching day seven already. If you're tested negative at day seven, they may even say, we'll test you at day 10. If you have two negatives at that period of time, they may say you're fine, but you're still kind of in that window right now, and especially in the college age where we may see some asymptomatic. So if he hasn't been tested yet, it'll be interesting to see what the results are today.
We're into the beginning of the flu season, and what are you hearing from Northwestern Medicine and your colleagues at other places about the outbreak of the flu around here so far this year, Doc?
Very low numbers right now, Bob, and we kind of hope that that continues. And, you know, last year, if you look at the Southern Hemisphere, they had a very light flu season. And you say, gosh, how lucky that was. Well, it really wasn't luck. You know, flu transmission is the exact same way as COVID. So since down in the Southern Hemisphere, who just is finishing their flu season, was wearing masks and physically distancing, it actually showed that we can dampen the influenza numbers. And certainly this year, please get your flu shots. It's interesting. This is a very high flu vaccination year. We're already seeing some sites run out of the high-dose vaccine. So any seniors that are out there that haven't been vaccinated yet, please call around and try to get that high-dose vaccine, because that's going to be the one that's going to protect you the most.
And a number of folks have written us about this, the symptoms of the flu, the symptoms of the coronavirus, similarities and differences.
Yeah, probably one of the biggest differences is the onset of the fever. So with influenza, usually most people, they're fine, and all of a sudden, bam, they get hit with a really high fever. Where COVID, they kind of ease into the fever and ease into the illness. After that, it really all depends on the individual, because we have fever, we'll have cough, we'll have congestion, we'll have body aches with both COVID and with influenza. Now, a lot of people are going through COVID without any symptoms whatsoever. That's not so much the case with influenza, so you certainly will get that. The loss of taste or smell is certainly specific for COVID. We do not see that with influenza. So if that were to happen, certainly a big red flag and to make sure you get in to get treated. But a lot of the basic symptoms are going to be overlapping and mimicking in both illnesses.
Hey, Doc, I had a question for you. My wife got a flu shot last week, and she got a shingles shot at the same time. The first one of the, because I guess it's two shots several months apart. She didn't feel great afterwards, and she's not had a problem with a flu shot, but she was really sore from the shingles shot. Is that pretty common, and is that an okay idea to get them both at the same time?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of getting them both at the same time. It's okay, but I'm not a big fan of it, Dave. The shingles shot, yes, you're going to have more side effects and more pain and discomfort with the shingles shot. The beauty of it is you get it, and then, you know, a month or two later, you're going to get the second one. But then you have protection for 10 years, so we'll get that one out of the way. And for someone like you who has had shingles, has probably told her how important that shot is. Now, shingles is something that we look at. I want to decrease my chance of shingles over the next 10 years. So that's a shot that I say, let's get the influenza shot, wait a week or two, and then start your shingles. It's not like shingles is running around. The virus is already in our body. So really, just postponing that a couple weeks to allow you to make sure that, you know, you're going to get a good response from the influenza shot, and also not get discouraged to a point where you're not going to get the second shingles shot. So I'm sure she'll do fine, and tell her that the second shot actually can hurt a little bit more, but it's better knowing going in that she's going to be protected from shingles, because as you know, you are a poster child for it. You do not want to get this illness.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell her that.
Yeah. And Dave, don't go through all your shingles symptoms with me, please.
No. You don't want to. Yeah, you got enough going on.
Yeah, I'm a corona chondriac. Dr. Kevin Most, always a pleasure, never a chore. Have a great day. Thank you.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon.